Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
The Dateable podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating, where we investigate the whys of why people do and think the way they do and why you do the things you do when it comes to modern dating. Thanks to all of you who joined our live stream.
Oh, so fun. so much fun.
It went by so fast. It was only 30 minutes. We talked about dating profile, best practices. People had some really great questions, such as, should you have pictures of you wearing your COVID mask? Which yeah. We all agree that you should, not as a main photo or not in every photo, but yes, you should show off that you take COVID seriously.
Yeah, it was super fun. I think someone said it was like the Facebook group on steroids because it was like everyone just commenting like crazy in the comments section. And yeah, I love the engagement. I feel like we've done Facebook Lives and Instagram Lives before, but definitely more engagement and more like real-time feedback on these.
And we learned a thing or two. I think we learned that what women complain most about on dating apps are almost exact same things as what the men were complaining about, you know, what people put in their bio. So if you did miss that live stream, go on our Facebook or YouTube. We've uploaded that very quick 30-minute video, but it is all to really hype up what's to come this week with Kimmy Seltzer. Hacks to looking your best.
We teased the dating profiles in there, but we're going to go like way, way deeper in. And you guys have been asking for it, at least the people in our Facebook group. And if you're not in there yet, definitely join the Love in the Times of Corona group. But people have been asking to do dating profile reviews for some time now. Mm-hmm. And we definitely want people to like give each other feedback. And like, I think Kimmy especially is so great at being like, this photo paints you in the best light, where this one is not doing as much for you. And it's not like you look bad. It's just like, this isn't working hard enough for you. And you could either replace this with a conversation starter, or you could do something else. And I think it'll be really fun to do like the smaller group sessions that we got planned.
So how do you join this event? Join the sounding board. You've heard us talk about it for the last couple of weeks. It is an extension of our podcast and our community. You can join at dateablepodcast.com/soundingboard to read more about the different tiers that we offer, such as we give you a monthly guided audio exercise, as well as one-on-one coffee chats with Julie and I, and also live events. So definitely read through the offerings because there are three different tiers. For that middle tier, people who sign up for live events plus all the other things, Kimmy Seltzer would be the next event coming up.
Yeah, and I think another shout out too is like, even if you're in a relationship, our group is very much mixed. So while we are going to have dating apps be something that we look at, we're also going to be looking at just like how you show up in real life. You know, like a lot of us have been wearing sweats for a bit. Maybe date nights haven't been as hot as they used to be. So I think like, I know when I did my consult with Kimmy, like putting on a dress real close for the first time, I was like, oh my God, this feels so foreign. So I think there'll be something for everyone. And we'll make sure to like cater the breakout sessions based on where you're at and what you're the most interested in.
Yes, nobody gets left out.
No one gets left behind. And then the other piece too is we've heard some people say like, hey, I'm not necessarily able to come on Thursdays. Like, I don't know if this is something I should join. And I think what we want to say is, first of all, you can always get the videos if you can't make it. So totally get that sometimes life comes up and there's other things. I know this is the best thing out there right now, but we get it. Other stuff can happen. And I think people have been really loving though the audio series that UA was just mentioning. Like, keep hearing such great feedback of like how these like prompts and questions are really making people like dig deeper and understand things that they might not have really like brought to the surface. And like, we always say this, like the key to the best dating life and love life is the inner work. And we're really here to help you. We're here to be your Sherpas along the guide for love.
Speaking of Sherpas, I've been so cold recently. I don't know why Sherpas remind me of this. I'm just
like a Sherpa a little.
You know, I kind of feel like one. I'm wearing a beanie right now. I've got a full sweatshirt sweater on. I was wearing socks earlier. I was about to put on some gloves. It's like 50 degrees, but I'm such a freaking baby now.
Yeah, well, I'm headed. The reason why we're recording a little early this week. We usually do Sundays, but we're doing Friday because I'm actually leaving and heading back to the East Coast to Boston for a bit to visit family and stay with them for a little. And so it's going to get a lot colder for me. This is like nothing. But my brother was so kind and actually upgraded me to first class, which was amazing. He had so many points. And I think he was just like a little concerned with travel and stuff, like me going to like our parents' house and all the stuff. So he upgraded me to first class. So I essentially have like a pod that I can like sleep in now on JetBlue. And I'm by myself.
A good brother.
I know.
Such a good brother.
I know.
That's the only way. Because you weren't looking forward to the travel part of this trip. And now you can, because you're basically entering into a resort in the air.
Well, I still don't get any of the benefits of first class. This is my first time flying first class. I want to point this out. I don't know, UA, if you've done first class, but this is my first time. So I'm not really getting any of the benefits of all the food and drink and all the stuff that you
typically get. No food? They're not serving food?
No, because you got to be wearing your mask the whole time.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But you do get, it's like a little bed you can sleep in. So I'm just going to like lounge
out. I'm sure you'll still get alcohol. You'll still get all the alcohol you want.
So because you're really not supposed to put it through your mask. Like you'd have to take your mask off to drink. So I don't think
Are you sure about that? Because every flight I've been on, they've served snacks and drinks and stuff. And people need to take off their masks.
Well, I'll report back next week. I'm pretty sure, but I also haven't been on the flight yet. And I know you've gone on a few flights. So maybe I'm wrong. I'll admit that I could be wrong here, but I will report back next week on the intro. I know everyone's going to be wildly interested to know this. I'm sure, like, although last week I thought it was hilarious that we had a super action-packed episode with Case Kenny about like all these mindset shifts. And one of our members, Drew, who's one of our hosts too, he like posted, he's like, okay, I think the whole dateable community wants to know, like, what does your date mask look like? And I'm like, that's the one thing you took away from this episode. I love it. So who knows? Someone out there might care about the JetBlue experience.
Oh, that's what you're relating it to? Like the stupid things that people may care about? I bet you anything people will care about this, because a lot of people will be traveling for the holidays.
That's true.
If you're doing long distance travel, maybe you need to prepare a little snack for yourself or something.
I'm definitely going to. But I also got like a face shield, the N95. Yes. I'm ready. I got gloves. I'm like just going to be like full on. So yeah, but I agree. I was really dreading the flight and now I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah,
so we'll
just take a nice nap and watch some movies the entire time.
Oh, I'm going to get my Kindle. Like I've been, you know, I might actually start on our book club. We have now started a book club in the sounding board also. So maybe I'll get started on the book that we've chosen for this month.
There you go. Whole 6 hours of productivity on JetBlue.
Exactly.
It's about to happen. You know, so here's something I've told you this already, Julie. As soon as you get on the flight, you turn on the the air, whatever. What's it called? Air, I don't know.
The ventilator thing at the top.
Ventilation. Turn on the ventilation.
Oh, don't worry. My mom has sent me every tip under the sun.
Make sure the air is circulating and just make sure that you have your mask on when you need it to, when you aren't drinking or eating or.
I think there's like a pretty limited people using the bathroom too on first class. I feel so bougie that I'm saying first class. I just want to point out for people, this is by far the first time I've ever taken first class. I'm usually like economy saver. So
yeah, you're going to love it. You're just probably going to sleep the whole time.
You know why I've always been so hesitant to do first class and business class? Because I know myself. It's going to be hard to go back once you go there.
That's the thing, right? And that's why you just got to make friends in high places who have lots of points, who will upgrade you. In my case, my brother. That's my friend Billy. Yeah. My friend Billy has so many points. He's always like, when are you flying? Because I will upgrade you. Like every time. Billy. He's the best. Thanks, Billy. Best. Well, he doesn't have any points for this year anymore. So damn it for next year. I won't be upgrading myself. But thank you for all the previous times. But here's another hack. Not for airplanes. Not for anything productive. You can't see me very well right now because it's all blurred and like light. I'm losing light. But there's a new function on Zoom where you can put makeup on yourself. I'm wearing virtual lipstick right now.
Shut up.
Yes. I had nothing on today.
Did you wear that on the live stream or was that real?
No, that was real. And then today I was like, oh, getting ready for this recording. It's always such a daunting preparation experience because, you know, I'm like in my PJs all day. And then if we were recording, I'm like, I have to be somewhat presentable. I was so lazy. And then I was playing around on Zoom and there's these different filters. And this is in beta, I guess. It's like a studio filter beta feature, but you can choose all types of lipstick. So shieldy, I can steal your lipstick anytime I want without actually putting it on.
This is game changing for dates, people.
Yes.
This is like the way to do virtual dates from now on. I know I've always been the person that says like, don't send a Zoom link. That's super like douchey and just like, here's a meeting link. But I might be starting to send people Zoom links from now on if it means have to do my makeup. Hell yeah.
You can do lipstick and you can do eyebrows.
But what happens like if, you know how like the virtual background, like the second you move around, it gets
it looks super natural.
It does. I'm blown away.
You had no idea.
Right now.
I wasn't going to tell you.
No idea. Okay, guys, you heard it here first. This is the hack. This is the hack to look at your best. You'll get more hacks, but this is one of them.
Isn't that the best hack ever? I mean, I just got to say, I'm so happy because I can be lazy now.
You got to bring this up on the event with Kimmy.
I will, for sure. I tried on some of the eyebrows. They did not look very good, but the lips looked really, really good. So I'm okay with that.
I don't need my eyebrow person anymore. I assume I'm good to go.
Look, Julie.
Oh my God. That is creepy. Okay. Anyone who is not on YouTube, you got to get over because UA's eyebrows just grew by like 20%.
It's just, I don't know if the eyebrows are ever going to be a thing, but
I know UA, you're not going on virtual dates right now because you're in a relationship, but I would strongly suggest not having that look.
Do you like my neon green eyebrows right now? I love this feature so much. I just got to say, I love it. I love it. I love it.
So, so good. Okay. So I think my learnings here is that, you know, you can be lazier. There's a good way to present yourself. And then there is a wrong way to present yourself. And that is the lime green neon eyebrows. However, if it floats your boat, go for it. You know, I don't want to say the wrong way. I don't want to say the wrong way.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
Spice things up a little bit. My goodness.
You know, that actually could be a because you know how like you need to like, you can't oversell yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm thinking like when you first go on a video date, you show up with the green eyebrows and then you're like, just kidding. And then everyone's like, oh, you look so attractive. It's a good luck. A good tip.
So you're saying start low.
Yeah.
And then you can only go up from there.
You can only go up. So this is a teaser to our next month's sounding board guest, Logan Urie, who we are so excited to have. She is a crowd favorite with Science of Dating, one of our most popular episodes to date. And she said something that stuck out for me. It's the last impression you leave, right? Is how people remember you. So if you start low, but then you move high, they're going to remember the high and they're going to remember like the jump of feeling like this is all psychology, people.
It's proven.
Logan's like, I do not approve that message.
She's like, actually, I would have said the opposite, but it's all good, girls. It's all good. Yeah, play around. I think it's about playing around with your photos and your profiles. And sometimes maybe you just want to like upload some wacky photos, see who you match with, and then surprise them in real life. Like catfish the other way around, you know?
Exactly. I love it. So we brought back the would you rather. Should we share this week's question?
So the question is, I love superpowers. I love any questions with superpowers. So in a relationship or in dating, would you rather have the superpower of you being able to read other people's mind, so your partner's mind, or have the person you're dating be able to read your mind? What was your answer to this, Julie?
You know, I was going to say the first one, I'd rather read their mind, but that could be super dangerous. I don't know if I want to know what my partner was thinking all the time, but I also wouldn't want them to read my mind. Can I answer none of the above?
No, it's a would you rather.
Okay. I guess if I had to pick, I guess I would prefer to read their mind, but no, I think I'm going to prefer them to read my mind because, okay, this is why I'm going to go with this answer.
Okay.
I've thought this through. I'm kind of a sensitive person, and I think sometimes I interpret things in ways that they're not always meant to be. And I would just start making rash generalizations if I just knew every last thought that was going through someone's mind. I think sometimes ignorance is bliss, and let it just like come out. Like, what if they were, okay, I know a lot of friends who are in super healthy relationships right now, but the first couple months and like the beginning, and like, I'm sure there's even time now, like people do question things. Like they start to have second doubts and they're like, should I be with this person? Like, I would not want to hear all that. Like, I want someone to just work through that shit on their own. And if it comes out the other side, they really don't want to be with me, then I'll address it then. But if they come through and they're like, nope, this is the person for me, I don't need to know that they even had that doubt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I think that's exactly why I would choose to read their mind. So I'm choosing the other side. Only
but for
because,
the same reason. Interesting.
For the same reason, because I know I have more control of how I interpret other people's thoughts, but I have no control of how my partner could interpret my thoughts. I understand that I'm going to hear things and find out things that I will not love. The fact that he could look at me one day and be like, she's really fucking annoying. And I hear that. but I'm ready to face that. I don't want him to hear me go, he's really fucking annoying, because I don't know how he would interpret that.
So the reason I chose the other is because I think I wear my expressions on my face anyways. I think if I thought someone was so super fucking annoying, they'd probably know it.
That's true. Yes. So it depends on how good you are at lying. And I'm very good at lying. No, I'm just kidding. But you are in the minority. So 80% of people chose that they rather read their partner's mind, and 20% chose that they want their partner to read their mind. But everybody was kind of flip-flopping. You know, a lot of people said, I choose C, which is none of the above. And I was like, nope, that's
nope,
not a choice.
Pick one. Yes. It's a tough one. This is a tough one for sure.
Yeah. In a healthy relationship, you shouldn't be able to read each other's minds because you just tell each other. But if you but the question is, if you had a superpower, which one would you choose?
Yeah. Well, you know, I love these would you rathers. They're always mind boggling. Also, we are working on a would you rather book that's going to be released for the holidays, but also another big announcement. Our merch store is live.
Yay!
Woo! We got t-shirts, we got hoodies, we got coffee mugs.
Masks.
We got it. Masks. Oh yeah. How could I forget masks? Accessory of the year. Yeah. We were talking about this too on the live stream. It's like, if you need a conversation starter, people are like, how do I meet people in real life nowadays? It's really fucking hard because no one wants to come near you. But if you have a really cute mask, that could be a convo starter.
Absolutely. And so we worked for a long time on the merch store. It's not something we just slapped together. It was like, this will do. I think you will all find something super cute in there that you'll want for yourself or for your friends. Okay.
Yep.
Just saying, check it out.
And we tried to use some of the funnier dateable sayings or episode titles in some of them. So yeah, they're all dateable originals. So hopefully you can rock your dateable gear.
But if we're anybody expecting us to slap our faces on like a mask or a t-shirt, sorry, that's not what our merch looks like right now. But you can certainly request it.
Yep. And we also didn't make them heavily branded on purpose. Like, we don't want you to be like, you know, like rocking the Abercrombie sweatshirt. You know what I'm talking about. You know, oh, that like big sure. ass branded sweatshirt. That
or was, the
that,
Gap sweatshirts.
Yeah. I mean, that was a trend for a little, but not current day. And so it's very subtle. I mean, there is a Stay Dateable one, but it's not like Dateable podcast branding all over the place. It's classy. It's classy. So definitely go to our website.
But we are giving away free Dateable tattoos if you let Julie and I do the tattoo. Okay. Anybody?
That's if you join the sounding board at the $1,000 a month level. Just kidding. There isn't one. But maybe we should make one. But all, I guess in seriousness, sounding board members do get discounts to the merch store. So you were looking for another reason to be a sounding board member. There you got it.
Ooh, ooh. Yes, yes. Let's shift gears for a quick sec because we always like to spend some time promoting other podcasts that we like, especially in our Frolic Network. So the one podcast we want to promote this week is called Womance, like W-H-O-A.
Womance.
Womance. It's a weekly podcast all about romance novels and ourselves. So the two hosts unearth the weirdest bits and the sexiest parts of a romance novel each week. It's like listening to two people you want to be friends with talking about cool stuff like orgasms and what it means to be a human under late capital. Come join the party and get in the fun. It's called Womance Weekly Podcast.
Love it. Love it.
So fun.
And then we've been also trying out this new tool that's really cool for podcasts.
Mm-hmm. So do you ever find that when you're listening to a riveting podcast such as ours, that you want to revisit certain sections or even want to take notes? Yep, I've certainly kept a list of timestamps of some of our previous episodes so I can re-listen to these parts over and over again. And now with the BigCast app, you can streamline that whole process. Simply put, you can clip sections of a podcast episode right in the app and it saves to your account. And with each clip, you can add your own notes so you can recall why you saved that clip. So I recently did this with our interview with Case Kenny about shifting your mindset after you get ghosted. So I saved that clip within the BitCast app and I was able to share that clip right away on social media and with some friends who really needed to hear this. So in addition to all of this, I think BitCast is also a great discovery platform where you can listen to clips of other podcasts. Think of it as like sampling before you subscribe. Try it out. Share with us any clips you've saved from our show because we're super curious to see what you found interesting. Just download the BitCast app in the App Store. It's free. It's spelled B-I-T-C-A-S-T. It's a great idea.
So this week's episode, I have been so excited to release this episode, Nikki Novo. So we're doing, you know, like what's been holding you back in dating? Like that's the $1 million question. And UA and I both, we found, Nikki came to us actually. I think she reached out to us and I remember having like a screening call and I was just like, we need to have her on the podcast. Like she's going to be so amazing. She wrote this book called The Final Swipe that definitely highly recommend. We were actually also on her podcast, The Final Swipe podcast. And she is a medium and she did readings for UA and I. So have you ever done a reading like this, UA, before? Because this was my first time.
Never. Mind blown. I told so many friends about it afterwards.
Oh, me too. Every friend was like, I need to do this. It's basically like a clarity reading. So she will like assess kind of what's been holding you back and where you're going in the future, which I mean, who doesn't want to know both of those questions? So you'll get a little sneak in because we actually did some clips from our reading. And we did want to make it though, like while it does focus on ourselves in the sense of like our reading clips, it is general enough to the types of things that are holding most people back when it comes to dating and relationships. So you'll probably see some of your own stuff pop up throughout this.
Mm-hmm. That's right. When we did our readings, Julie did hers first, and then I did mine, I think a few months after, right? It was quite a bit of time after
you
did yours. Yeah,
because I think at first I was like, oh, I'm still single. I should be the one that gets the reading. When we then realized like, no, like things could be holding you back no matter your relationship status. It really has nothing to do with that at all. So then I think there was like some time between the recording and then her travel schedule and your travel schedule. But yes, you ended up doing it a little bit later than me.
So I already kind of knew what to expect because Julie kind of told me about her experience, but I had no idea how much I needed this. And the reason why I thought I needed this afterwards was you get to a point in your life, whether you're in a relationship or not, where you're just looking for some sort of guidance. Mm-hmm. And it's not guidance from your friends or your family. You're like looking for this third party person who will look at your life holistically and just say, you're on the right path or you're not on the right path. And I just needed that. I just needed to hear that.
I actually think it's super interesting this episode because you and I do come from totally different like places. Because I actually, when I did the reading, I had just broken up with my ex too. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, if I had done the reading a month earlier, I think it would have been totally different because I would have gone in trying to be like, is this the right relationship for me? Am I like, you know, am I wasting my time? Am I like progressing? Like all these things. And I think you went in with that agenda a little more. Like I have,
that's true.
I'm on a path. Am I on the right path where I'm kind of like, I'm not sure what path I'm on right now. Like I'm just open, you know? So I think it, if you're, you know, super duper single or you're in a really fully committed relationship, I think you're going to get something out of this one.
Okay. Should we just get to it? I think.
Let's get to it. You know,
Nikki has so much good stuff to say. Here is Nikki Novo. Feeling a little bit stuck is the name of the game of this episode. I think we can all relate to this feeling of, I don't know, whether it's like your personal life or your professional life, just feeling something is stopping me, blocking me, preventing me from moving forward. Even people who have life figured out probably feel stuck at
for
some point
sure.
in their lives, right? So our guest for today is the woman to help us get unstuck. Her name is Nikki Novo. She's 38 years old. She lives in Miami. She's been there on and off for 30 years, originally from New Jersey after her parents left Cuba, and she's married. Now, she's an intuitive dating guide who teaches people how to date intuitively and find their energetic blocks. And she's also the author of The Final Swipe, Heal Your Heart, Find Your Person, and End the Dating Search for Good. And she also has a podcast called The Final Swipe, which we were on too. Hi, Nikki. How are you?
Hey, Nikki.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for helping us find clarity. Julie and I both did clarity readings with Nikki individually to find out what's holding us back and what if we're on the path that we're meant to be on. But let's first start, like, let's step back for a sec. How did you get into this field?
It's a good question. I was actually an editor for many years. I worked in the film industry. So I studied publicity and I worked at Lionsgate and Fox Searchlight. And then I decided I wanted to be a writer. So I moved back to Miami from LA and I started just writing at different publications. But during that process, of course, like any good story, I thought I was going to get married and like this guy just totally dumped me and like broke my heart. And I was so confused. And, you know, I just feel like at that point in your life, you either like go seek out a therapist, maybe you take some drugs or you go see a psychic. So I was like, I'll go see a psychic. And I went to this woman, and my friends and I, we were like on this hunt for like a good psychic. And we went to this woman who basically, well, the first woman told me that I was never going to be happy unless I was with this boyfriend of mine.
Oh,
so
it's
like, I remember getting out of there and crying and being like, oh my God, my, how could you do that to a person? First of all, I was like,
especially when they're seeking clarity about that person, you're like, nope, this is forever.
Right.
Like at the end of it, she's like, and for $450, I can clear that out for you.
You're like, oh, that's how this upsell works.
So I was like, oh, this is so awful. So that was like really funny. My friends like still feel bad about that story because I like they were the ones that took me to the psychic. But then after that, I didn't give up and we went to somebody else. She actually predicted my husband like 2.5 years before I even met him. And she was just so spot on. And I was so fascinated like by her gift. And I guess that's probably, I mean, I'm sure that that was probably a sign that I had something like that in me because I don't, maybe not everybody is fascinated the way that I was. Like I was like so fascinated. I had so many questions about like how she was doing what she was doing. And that was really like the beginning of like my spiritual awakening. So I was like, you know, this editor during the day, like doing fashion and beauty, working at like for big publications. And then like at night, I was like studying all this like weird, like wizard, like metaphysical stuff.
How fun.
And I just you know, that kind of like brought me down this rabbit hole of like studying Reiki, and I studied hypnotherapy, and I was studying all these things for my own self-healing. Like I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be doing this for work. So that was in 2008. And then the blogging, you know, world was like exploding at the time. And actually that boyfriend that I dated was, he started a blog for me, and then he broke up with me 2 weeks later. And I was like stuck with this blog, and I was like, well, I guess, you know, I'm going to take this blog and I'm going to write about, I'm going to go on a bunch of dates and I'm going to write about it. And then obviously he's going to want to like get back to me. Back
oh
with me,
my gosh.
He's going to feel so jealous that
the ultimate revenge.
In my mind, in my very theatrical mind, this was like a really good plan. And of course, like what ended up happening was that I would, you know, spoiler alert, he did not give three shits about my dating escapades. And between like that self-healing that I was doing and the dating, I just really started to like find myself. I really was just going into this like self-healing, self-exploration place. I was writing about it, and people, you know, my blog just ended up getting popular at the time. Mm-hmm. And that was a moment that I realized that like dating is such a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. Like it truly is like a sacred time. And there's so much for us to like learn and be aware of about ourselves, about humans, about how we do the thing that we do. And I thought it was just such a good teaching moment. So like even, and people of course were interested in my journey, and I ultimately met my husband, we got married. And I just found it to be like, once I really got into like personal development and spirituality, like there was just like no turning back. Like I just wanted to continue to do that. And I just found it to be like a good place to start helping people. And as I was studying all these things, like that's when like all these senses started opening up. And I was like, on top of that, like on top of just journey, I was like, hearing dead people and like spirit guides were showing up. And like all these, I started to like see energy and all these things that never, I was never that child that, you know, like predicted, you know, that my grandmother was going to pass away or anything like that. It was truly like an interest that ultimately brought me, I was so curious that I ended up studying, and the studying is actually what opened it up all for me. And then at some point there was just like no turning back. Like I loved it so much, and people were coming to me, and I was like by accident reading them. And it was kind of, I always say, it's like they were coming in to like get some advice. It's kind of like when you think you're just going in for sex, and then like a guy sticks it up your butt and you're like, whoa, I didn't come for that. Like that's kind of.
What is that like?
Yeah. Exactly. You're like, whoa, like, no, thank you. Like I did not want that. That's kind of like they would show up, and then all of a sudden I would read them, and they were like, whoa, like I, you know, it was so confusing. And I was like, okay, Nikki, like you have to start coming out. Like you have to kind of start explaining what you're doing.
I think you bring up an interesting point though, is like everyone wants the answers, right? Like we're all so future focused. And I think that's why like a lot of people seek, like, I know that was something that was very interesting to you and I, when we went and did the reading with you, is like, what will our life be in the future? Like, why do you think that we feel like this discontent with like just letting things ride out versus wanting to know the answers?
You know, I kind of think that as like we evolve as a species, like I think it's just the same way, like back in the day when you're out to dinner and there was no phone and there was no Google, like you'd have an argument and you just kind of leave it at that. But now it's like we have an argument with a friend and we're trying to prove our you know, point, and we can get on our phone and we can Google it and like prove them, like we have those resources. And I think that we just like now have, we're starting to understand that like, oh, if there's this resource, if there's like this ability to actually like figure out what's going to happen in the future, like I want in on that. So it's like, it's like actually like more available to us, I feel like. So I think we're just always trying to hack and like trying to get farther and farther and trying to see. So I think that, you know, like if it's available, like why not? And everybody has had, I think, you know, most people have had an experience where they do get a prediction and it's true.
And a lot of that could be self-manifestation too. I mean, if you knew what your life will be in 10 years, you might live your today much differently. So it's actually something that we've been talking about in our Facebook group with a would you rather that we posed recently. But it's kind of like, why can't we accept, like, why can't we just live our lives thinking that our life will be a certain way in the future? Why do we need someone to tell us what it'll be like?
Yeah, I mean, totally. And I think it's just, you know, it's nice to get that outside, like somebody who doesn't know what's going on in your life and that has no skin in the game, basically, and that is able to tell you, like, and at least give you a little bit of like some crumbs that make you feel like, okay, that's like legit. So you can trust. I always say that, I mean, the way, at least the way that I do readings, like my hope is that you're having an experience like with your soul, you know, that you're having an experience with the divine. And it's like, you know, all of us, I think, even if we don't believe in a way, we almost like want God to like whisper in our ear sometime and just be like, it's going to be okay.
Right,
so
right.
If we, you know, if we can have, we do have access to our soul. We do have access to that information. You can absolutely do it on your own. Like if you can, like, why wouldn't you? You know,
I think it also comes down to like this feeling of wanting to control the future. And I feel like a lot of us feel like love is the one area of our lives that we just can't control. Like work, we can control all this stuff, but you feel differently. You feel like you can manifest love. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, definitely. I just had a client and we were talking a little bit about that. Okay. So definitely, yes. I mean, we're all afraid of the unknown, which is why during this time that we're filming, like 2020 has been so hard because there is so much unknown. And that truly is at the end of the day, what makes us nervous because we exist in a world where we think we have control over things, but we don't really have control as we are learning. So I think that, you know, once we realize how human we are, you know, it makes us a little nervous. But when it comes for dating, so a few things, which gets a little tricky, but some people that are, that really want to go down the rabbit hole, their first question is like, well, what if I am doing all this dating stuff and it's actually not in the cards for me, right? Like what, so if I truly believe in like fate and destiny, what if it's not in my fate and my destiny, right? Like if it's almost like if I believe in readings, I also kind of have to believe in fate and destiny. It's like, you can't really, you know, not believe in one. So that's usually like a question. And it's true. There are some people who are like destined to not be in relationship. What I have found in working with so many people and in doing the readings is that when people have like a very strong desire for something, it ends up like being in their path. Like, and even something that we do that we keep hitting our head up against the wall and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm insane. Why do I keep doing this thing? And it's because it's actually like in their path. Because if it, at some point, if it wasn't, you just like, you wouldn't have kept following it. So I have never really found anybody who has that desire and like keeps doing it and not, you know, and do it like in a way that like, you know, that it's not meant for them. So they have to, we first have to understand like that if we desire something that way and that we really feel called to it, we have to trust that that's like in our path. That's the first like step. You have to trust that it's like for you, you know, that it's there for you. And then secondly, like once you know that, then you have to be like, okay, this is like my path, my destiny. Like I just need to walk that path and not get in my own way. And we have to look at like what actually gets in our own way. And that's the trick, like the blocks, the things it's the beliefs. It's the things that, you know, the things that we're hiding from ourselves or the ways of thinking that are off or the lack of integrity. You know, sometimes we say we want something, but our actions are totally different. So that's where you get to like have a little bit more control. When you start to like self-hack yourself and you actually go deep, then you move all that stuff around out of the way. And like, then the path is easy to walk. So I, you know, like it's not so much that I'm manifesting it, it's I'm living into my path.
Right. Now that totally makes sense because I feel like fear too is what gets in most people's way. And then I know just like from personal experience with friends and stuff like that have settled down and met their person, it's like usually when they're in a really good space. And at least for me too, it's like when things have played in, every other area of your life is like you're feeling good about yourself. And I think that's so important to making sure that you're on that path.
Visually, this is what I see. I mean, I almost feel like I'm in a video game with life sometimes and you hit a wall. And if when you do hit a wall, I think my first knee-jerk reaction is to be mad at the wall. Like, why is this wall here? How did I get stuck here? Can I go around the wall? Is there another route? And then I just kind of simmer there. And I think that's what being stuck for me means is being stuck in front of a wall, not seeing what's beyond it. But what you're saying is really brings so much freedom to the way we can approach life, which is beyond the wall, there's more for you. You just have to be patient at knocking down this wall. And that's, mm-hmm. I mean, like visually, I find that really helpful to think about too. And that's the fear part too.
Totally.
You know, we can't lead with fear, because if you lead with fear, you get stuck at the wall.
You said it so well in your book. Yeah. I love it. Like that we lead with fear instead of leading with love when it comes to dating and relationships. Like, why do you think we do this? Like, because that is, we always talk about it in our podcast. It's like people are in this game of me versus you opposed to building a relationship together. Like, why do you think that is kind of our default mode in this game?
I have a lot of thoughts about this. I mean, number one, I mean, we grow up with a lot of fear, you know, fear-based ideas. Like if you don't study, you're going to get an F. If you get an F, I'm going to take this away from you. So that, like, we train ourselves like as children, you know, that like everything is going to be taken away if we don't do the thing that we're supposed to do. So that's like number one. But also I've actually read some people that like talk about the history of dating. They go deeper into it. And there is some like actually very human parts of us that, especially women, that there's been times in our lineage that there has been less men than women, mm-hmm. you know, that there's men have gone to war like mm-hmm. forever. But this is the first time that we're like, you know, kind of what's it called? You know, we're not like killing each other as much. I mean, we are, but in different ways. But for many, many generations, like, you know, there has been tribes and the men would go out and fight and the women would stay behind. So that's actually like written in our DNA in many ways, that fear of like not having enough, if they're not being enough people. Mm-hmm. And then men also have the opposite where, you know, they're used to an abundance. So right. if we're talking about like those, you know, that kind of that typical like male female relationship. So there is like actually something that's in our body also, like that's just in our blood, basically like in our DNA from many, many generations of having lack. So we're learning to, we have to work past our animal instincts for sure.
Mm, yeah, that's interesting. Think about it. It's almost like in our DNA. And I mm-hmm. feel like I'm very excited for modern dating right now because I think we are rewriting that DNA. We no longer mm-hmm. see those traditional gender roles and how can we kind of navigate around. I think that's why modern dating is so fascinating right now, because we're rewriting mm-hmm. history
for sure.
in some ways.
We're going behind, like beyond that like animal instinct and all totally. That stuff. So we're used to like just dating and thinking that there's not enough. We're used to think, you know, we also don't know how to trust life. Like mm-hmm. like how we started the conversation, we're so afraid of like trusting that things are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. We just really live in this idea that like we control everything, like which we don't. And that distrust actually causes all this self-sabotaging. Like we literally act, I see people like acting different when they date because they think they're going to like lose a person. And that mm-hmm. is so unattractive. You right. are not mm-hmm. sexy. You are not sexy. None of us are sexy when we like are, you know, what are the words that we use? Like clingy and like all those things. And it's because we're afraid of losing something. We right. think that there's mm-hmm. or a lack games. Of something.
Yeah, it's all coming yeah. from fear at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. So once someone finds some sort of clarity with you, the only thing I always say, the only thing we have control of is our mindset. That's yep. it. Nothing else we can control. So what is something that people can do to change their mindset? What's like the first step?
I studied mindset first. That was like kind of like my intro into this work, but I ultimately like found that, you know, it's beyond mindset, but like actually like integrating into the body. Cause like our body actually has a lot of, the fear is actually like held in the body more than it's in the head most of the time. It's, you know, it's like kind of the chicken or the egg. Like, is it the body that feels it and then the mind, you know, reacts, or is it the mind that believes it and then the body reacts? But I do, you know, try to kind of look at the whole mind-body connection. But the first step is just like, it's kind of like when you're an addict, you know, it's like the first step of just being like, okay, like there's some healing that needs to happen. Like I'm human. Yeah. And I have to like admit that there's like healing. It's not that I need to get better. It's not that I need to be better. It's not that I need to be more perfect or more this or that. It's just that there are traumas, big and small, like stuck in me that are keeping me from something that like is my birthright, you know, love and connection. You know, it's available for all of us. It truly is. But there's something in my energy that makes me feel like not worthy of it, or that makes me like feel stuck from it. So I first have to start with the idea that is true, and that I have to. And I really do feel that like once we agree to that. There's so many different ways to like heal these things. Like some of it is like you read a good mindset book and like it clicks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the girl that goes to yoga and like has this awakening. Some people do ayahuasca or psychedelics mm-hmm. and they have some sort of, so there's so many different paths to healing. But one thing that we do know about the universe is that like you put something out and you're going to receive feedback. So like if I put out this idea that like I need some solutions for my healing, you're going to start to attract things mm-hmm. that like are right for you, because what's mm-hmm. right for my healing may be very different for yours. But it's this idea that we live in this world where there's so many, you know, resources and there's so many people that are experts in these things. Like we just need to say like, I need help. Yeah. That's it.
So let's get into how you healed UA and I. So
yes, I do feel healed.
How do you guys feel?
Totally healed. But yeah, we did readings that we'll go into for anyone here that's interested in what Nikki predicted for UA and I, and then also what was holding us back. I think we really want to talk about that because a lot of the stuff that you found for the two of us was different. But I think a lot of our listeners can relate to these because they're very common throughout. But before we go into our own scenarios, can you tell us a little more about just like your whole practice and what you do and more of the methodology?
Yeah, and how that works. So when you talk about blocks, what you're referring to is they're energy blocks. So I studied Reiki, which is like, mm-hmm. You know, it's healing shock, like it's working through the chakra centers. But when I studied it, what happened to me was that I started like seeing energy and I started to read energy. You're supposed to like use your hands and kind of sense. But what happened is that like, I started to close my eyes and I could see people's energy. And I, for some reason, like, I can't even explain how I do it, but I can read it. And actually I teach people how to read energy, so that I have a program where I teach people how to, so anybody can learn how to do it.
Is it colors that you see, Nikki?
Yeah, I see colors. I see shadows, and it's in your third eye. Like close my eyes and then I can, and you guys know, like I don't see people on the phone.
Right.
I'm just talking to you on the phone and I like see your energy comes forward to me, and then I close my eyes and I can see, like, it's the most strangest like thing ever, but I can see the chakras, like the different colors, mm-hmm. and I'll see, you know, if they're small or they're big or there's a shadow or something. And based off of that, I receive like I can read them, like if they were mm-hmm. a book. And when I read them, that's where I find the blocks, because the centers are our energy centers. They're like, it's how our energy flows. And if our energy is not like flowing in the way that like our life is supposed to be moving, the chakras will be blocked. So the chakras almost like talk to me and they're like, this is what's like not working. So that's how I pull that information.
So for anyone that's like a 101, mm-hmm. can you kind of explain what a chakra is? And then some of these colors, I'm very curious what the colors are.
Yeah. So chakras, so we have a lot of chakras on our body, but if you've ever been to like a yoga class, or maybe you've done like, you know, just any sort of holistic medicine, you've probably seen like the little like figure of somebody meditating, and there's these colors like down, mm-hmm. not the spine, but like down that center of us. Those are chakras. So they're energy centers. So basically like we are energy. These are like little wheels that make sure that the, like kind of, you almost like going to imagine them like our AC ducts, like the AC, like they have
really
to flow.
Sexy.
If there's like, yeah, if there's like a duck and that is like, you know, that's stuck, like the rest of the flow is just, you're not going to have good AC, right? So like the idea is that these chakras are working well, that it's flowing. They each one represents something different in our life. So there's like a top one that represents like our spirituality. There's, you know, obviously there's the heart chakra, which is like love. So they actually all represent something. And it's just fascinating how much information you can get from it. It's crazy. So
I got to ask this because I'm sure people are wondering, have you ever had someone that you've worked with that is like, did not like their path that you basically predicted for them?
Yeah, no, I mean, so, you know, there's people that, yes, there are people. And I think any of us who have been to psychics, I know that when I went to that first psychic that I was telling you about, I wanted her to tell me that my boyfriend was going to come back, that we were going to be okay, or that I was going to marry a doctor, like something good.
George Clooney in my future.
Totally. Like just something like, and then I was going to win the lotto the next day. Yeah, I don't know, something good. And, you know, a good reading is somebody that shows you how to walk that path and, you know, what are the paths available to you? Because mm-hmm. we always have several paths as well. And not somebody who's going to like make you feel, you know, that you're going to get what you want, you know, at the end of the day. So yes, I've definitely typically people who are attracted to me, like, know my style. So they know that I'm not going to just, like, you know, blow like smoke up their butt or whatever.
Well, I think that goes with any sort of coaching business mm-hmm. too. If yep. someone's yeah. not ready to receive the information, they totally. Just want to hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
If they don't hear yeah. it, then they get mad at
or
you.
Or have the, like, set well, outcome in mind. Yeah. Yeah. I felt after mine that it was so dead on. And I think part of it was that I didn't go in with any expectations in mm-hmm. the first place. Like, it totally. Was more just because we were doing this podcast, and then also just to see, you know, like, where the path was and the blockage. I read your book before, and I think, like, what you've said about just getting in your own way and so much of, like, what's holding you back. So I'm happy to share. Maybe we can just kick off.
Yeah. Let's hold that thought for a sec. We'll get right back to it. Confession. I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets, ultra cooling, and just feels like a 5-star hotel every night. And it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable.
Spring is in the air, and you know what adds an extra spring to my step? Our partners at Via Hemp. Need to chill out after a long day? There's a Via gummy for that. Dealing with anxiety or stress? There's a gummy for that too. Want to set the mood in the bedroom? There's a gummy for that called High Love. Via also carries a wide array of other gummies with and without THC, ranging from 0 to 100 milligrams. I've been struggling to stay focused lately, so I was excited to try out their Flow State gummies. These felt like a good bet to me too, because they were non-psychoactive and THC-free. But they definitely delivered, boosting my daily energy and focus. So whether you're a 2 milligram or a 50 milligram user, you can shop through their website for any strength and effects. So head to Via Hemp and use the code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their award-winning gummies, 21 plus. That's viahemp.com and use the code DATEABLE at checkout. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with High Love from Via Hemp.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth, research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of, like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. I was thinking, Julie, since you did the reading first, you should walk our listeners okay. through what your experience was with Nikki from the very beginning. Like, what was the coordination process? And then, like, what did you do? And then what did, you know...
Yeah.
I'm sure people are very curious.
I mean, we went on basically what Nikki alluded to is that we went on Uber conference line. And I think mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, I remember asking you, like, can you do this just over here? Like, I was so blown away by it. But yeah. you explained the whole process of how you had meditated before. And it wasn't just like I'm here now and doing this, but I think I was like, I definitely am a believer in spirituality. Like, I wouldn't say I'm like deep in spirituality of like all past lives and all of that, but I do believe in the universe. I do believe in having a path in life and setting your own path. So I was excited to do the reading. I thought it would be really interesting. And I've never really done anything like this. Like I feel like it was so bad. It was in Tahoe. Like, we found this, psychic next to like a gelato shop, and like all my friends were like one of them went in and she's like, this was mind blowing. So we like all started to go in, and then at the end, we're like, what is happening right now?
And like $150 later.
Right, exactly. We're like, this wasn't really necessarily like a reputable place. We just like stumbled next to it because we wanted ice cream. So.
So fun,
but
though.
This was, yeah, I mean, yeah. Honestly, I enjoyed it. And I think like what came out too for that one was sometimes we can interpret things the way that we want to interpret. Like, I mean, that one was also very short. I feel like that was like 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Like with you, it was like, I think we were talking for like an hour and 15. Like, it was a pretty long session. And I think like when we started off, we talked about just what was holding me back. I think that was like a big piece of it. And I think that's what a lot of people want to know if they're not in the spot. Like, I think it's interesting that we're going to talk about my experience and UA's because we're both in different stages right now. Like, I'm single, UA's in a relationship, but with both scenarios, you always kind of want to know what's next. So here's a little sample of my reading with Nikki.
But there was, in a weird way, like, it seemed like the relationship was always plagued with this idea that, like, it wasn't going to last, that he wasn't going to, that he was going to go away. And that anxiety, like, really plagued the relationship. And you know, we can argue, like, chicken or the, like, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, the energy create the outcome? Or, like, was it that it was your intuition that person was going to leave you? But most importantly, like, understanding that, like, what keeps you connected is the fear of not having him around. Mm-hmm. So, like, we kind of want to, like, release that fear. Also, you know that there's so many lifetimes to be with each other, that, like, his soul and spirit is always with you, and that you're, like, releasing each other so that this lifetime can have a happy ending. It's weird. It's like hard to explain, but it's almost like that the attachment comes from a fear of losing, of being afraid that the person won't be there. So it's like, if we remove the fear of the person not being there, do you guys really want to be with each other? You can actually, like, really see that it's just not the right match this lifetime at this time. But the fear kind of creates like a fog. You know, what if it's almost like, I'm grateful I experienced that. I'm grateful I got to see you again. Like, I am okay with the expiration date. It's like, you had a beautiful, like, experience, but if you keep it going longer, like, you spoil the experience. Like, you, it's like drinking spoiled milk. He has like a very, he has a different path too. I don't know. I kind of feel like he's not even supposed to be in relationship, is my sense. Or to the level of commitment that, like, you know, is in your path. He's always going to be in your life, which is not weird for you to, you know, to, like, have a new relationship. He doesn't keep you from other relationships by any means. It's more just like, it's not so much that he is like, oh my gosh, holding this piece in your heart and doesn't allow you to date. Like, that's not what it is. It's more the temptation. It's really that fear, like the temptation to try to work on it again is what keeps, like, what's the worst part. So it's not so much that he's in your life. Because some people, like, I'll see that relationship is kind of like pulling the other person's energy, and that, like, that's what's, you know, it's holding like a piece in your, you don't have that. Yours is more just like, it's more of a, it's the brain, like, trying to complete the task, basically. But I think even just honestly, like, having it in your head that, like, this is not my person, and I am finding my person, that just that knowing, and even just like that conversation, like, we are not each other's people, you know, like, and he doesn't, it's not that he doesn't have a person. It's just that he's just not going to do a traditional commitment by any means. And if he is committed, it'll be like much older. I'm not super concerned about like you guys being in each other's life. It's more just like kind of maybe setting a few boundaries. And really, like, your mind, like, working on the mindset about what you think this relationship is. will alleviate some of like the impulse, basically.
Like, I think a lot of people are held back by, you know, like that gold standard, that person that saw them in a certain way that didn't work out with. Like, why do you think that we do get so fixated like on this, and like, how do we break through from it?
Well, you're not going to like my answer, but I'll explain my answer. But if I remember correctly, Julie, you guys were soulmates. Like, you guys had a soulmate relationship. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about that. I don't expect everybody to believe in past lives, but if you're interested, there's lots of material on it. But we, you know, there's just some people that we connect to that we're like, I know this person, you know, I've done this before. I've seen this. There's just, why is it that I can have more depth with this person mm-hmm. than I might've had depth with like my boyfriend who I was dating for 5 years. Like right. I had that relationship. I remember, and this is like long-term boyfriend for like 6 years, and got over him in like 6 minutes when we broke up yeah. and then had like a boyfriend of 1 year that took me 6 years to get over, mm-hmm, right? Things like that. And, a lot of that comes, you know, truly, and I know that's maybe not the best answer, but it does come from these like soulmate connections, which is, just to clarify, the two of you can be soulmates, right? Like, you could have been, mm-hmm. you know, brother, sisters in a past life, or mother, daughter in a past life. So it's not just romantic. It's just basically souls that we have lived other lifetimes with. So not to think that like, if you lost a soulmate, you're not going to find another soulmate. That's the real definition of a soulmate, is a soul that I have lived with before. Mm. That definitely like shows up. And I just think, you know, and I'm sure there's some medical explanation too, but I would imagine that at some point, you know, the life feels lonely, you know, and mm-hmm. like there's not too many people that understand this. And when we right. find somebody who like really understands us, it's just this feeling that is almost like, you know, addictive. And, you know, it takes time to let somebody see us that way. And just sometimes there's some people that make that process easier for us. They hold space for us to be able to allow ourselves to show ourselves faster. And then we connect. If we could bottle up that formula, like, it would be a different scenario, but there truly are just people that make space for us to be ourselves. Right. And there's something about the way they love and the way that they, but that doesn't always mean that they're meant to be our romantic partner, you know, and yeah. that's what's hard.
And mm-hmm. I think that's exactly what has happened in my situation, is that I've had other boyfriends in the past outside of him, but no one that I felt like saw me the way that he did. And I think you said that too, is like, what's holding me back is like really allowing people to see me. And for whatever reason, he made it easy, and it just kind of, you know, worked that way. And I do think like for years, like, even, I mean, like after the year that we broke up, like I was like in therapy, like I was not dating really. Like, it was like very difficult. And I mean, I'm glad long term that I did it, because I think it's made me the person I am today. But I think for a while I still had in my head that like he was it. Like, it was just like, mm-hmm. I needed to wait till he figured stuff out, and like wait till like he got his own stuff in order. Like, it was just like the way that my mind went. And I think what something you said that was interesting, because when we finally broke up after this time, we both kind of made this pact of like, we're not going to talk again. Like, I don't even know if I told you this, UA, but he like asked for your number, because he was like, so I could like wow. potentially like still stay connected in some way. But like, we kind wow. of have, and I was like, I don't think that's the best idea, but.
No.
But anyways, like, I think wow. like we had this like very much like, this is it, because we've been doing this like back and forth for so long. And you actually said something super interesting to me there on our reading, that you actually saw him in my life, and it wasn't like I needed to be so black and white with it. I just needed to change the way I thought about it, that he wasn't the person for me. And if I was able to do that and disconnect from it, then it could be someone I still had in my life. And I actually think by even talking to you, like, I have talked to him since, and I've made that mental change in that shift. And it really has gone a long way, because I think that really is so much of it.
I got to say, amazing. That's huge, because when Julie told me that, it's, I think we often think about getting readings as something like you get a definitive reading of some sort. Like, this person's not going to be in your life, or this person right. is going to be the it person. But the way you did this reading with Julie, it was basically like, listen, he's going to be in your life, because that's out of your control. But how you perceive him and treat him and see him is in your control. And that, I thought that was mind blowing, like really helpful to hear that.
Yeah. That's beautiful. First of all, that you were open to that and that you were able to receive this shift. So Congratulations to you. But so a few things. When we meet somebody that we feel seen and that we know, and you know, it's like, oh, I know you, we've done this before, you know, there's this connection. When we feel that, usually what registers in our head that like, oh, this is it. This is like love. This is, you know, my person. This is who I'm supposed to be with. So of course the brain then creates like a future, you know, it has like this whole future vision with this person. And it's very hard to break, even when you break up, like the brain still has that path. So at some point, like the brain has to like break it down and have something else to go to, because if it breaks down that path, and there's nowhere else to go, like it can cause a lot of trauma. So I think in that moment, you were able just to be like, oh, I can break this path of us being together. Like, I don't need that future path anymore. I can break that down. Mm-hmm. And I can actually, now there's this other path that was like written for you, you know, not written for you, right, but it was like an outline.
Right.
And that's what made your brain also, you know, be able to see that. The other, like, we also see that in, you know, a few things. When we meet a soulmate, doesn't mean we're supposed to be with them forever. So it's something important for us to know. And then also we call that energetic cords. So you guys had like an energetic dependency on each other, and we had to like release that energetic dependency so that you can both grow. Cause a lot of the times what you were explaining, you were like, well, I had that situation. It's like my ex-boyfriend, he just needs to get his stuff together and we'll be back.
Right.
But the truth is, like, the only way to really, really do that is you have to break the cord first, and you have to think like you, oh, okay, we're not supposed to be together, or we don't have a future. And then that creates space for that person to actually grow up or grow into what they're supposed to be. And if there's any chance of us getting back together, we first have to break the cord so that these things are not sucking off of each other and that they learn to grow on their own and then leave it up to, you know, fate or whatever to see if you're, but if we're kind of still in that place, it's just impossible.
Yeah. And I think too, it's like, if you think that, this is what I dealt with for like, I mean, I even want to say like a couple years, because he was like in and out of my life. It's like, I was dating other people, but like there's this mindset that he's still there. And as long as someone's occupying that mindset, it's really hard to like move forward. And the one time that I was actually able to move forward was when I really made that like cord cut. And that's when I did meet someone else. So I do like believe it's possible. And I think like just hearing that and kind of talking that through with you was really important. But I think the part that I also thought was interesting, I never thought about, was this not being fully seen. And I think like with him too, he was definitely someone that was like a very good communicator. He was able to like bring that stuff out. I think I've gotten better over the years, partially because of this podcast, but in general, that was never, I was always like kind of like holding things in for a long time. So I thought that was like a really interesting point. And I think a lot of us do struggle with that. Even if we're like, you know, we're out and about doing all this stuff, it's like really being seen for who you are. Sometimes there's a lot of like fear with that, because that's when like rejection really stings.
Totally. And we first have to look at like, that was the purpose of that relationship, you know, like what a gift that he gave you, you know, and that's the purpose of soulmate connections. We come together and we're like, hey, we're going to do this work together. You're going to struggle with this thing, but I'm going to come in and I'm going to propel you forward. So first of all, that's like, you know, why he came there. And it's a cracking open of the heart. We think like our heart's breaking apart, but there was actually like such a cracking open for you in that relationship, which made you open for the person that actually was going to, you know, be there with you long-term, or reciprocator, or, you know, it just gives you that it launches you into what truly is like for you. So, you know, there's just meaning in all these relationships. It's beautiful.
And I think like the next part I'll get to is hearing that you were like, you're going to meet your person this birth year. And I'm like, oh yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So here's a little sample of my reading with Nikki.
Because your purpose has a lot to do with like experiencing and observing and exploring, like you have that tendency to watch something happen, you know, like watch people fall in love for like a long time before you jump in. You know, even knowing that, like, you know, understanding that you're right on time, you know, that you're not behind, you're perfectly on time considering how much watching time you needed. It's important to know that there's like nothing wrong with your process or where you're at, or you know, your age or anything like that. It has a lot to do with like the fact that you watch like humans interact and then you like do the thing. Your soul's a little bit more of like a younger soul, like not a super old, heavy baggage stuff. So, which is, you know, nice. It's like refreshing. And your soul came this lifetime, like it wanted to explore Earth. Like it basically wanted to experience all the things. So we're going to see you experience all the things like work and, you know, partnership and children, if that's like something you want to do. Like just, there's a lot of like experimenting. Let me see what gets you, because you're so close. Like I really do feel that, you know, you're going to find your person this, this birthday year, like this 37. There's these last little tweaks, like of really showing up as your full self, like what we just talked about, that is going to make you like a perfect fit for your right fit. You're going to attract from a better place also. So there's nothing, I don't want you to feel like you're hitting like your head against the wall, because that's kind of where your mindset is going. But it's just, it's timing. It has a lot to do with like the divine timing of your path. There's a possibility to get to a place where you feel exhausted within like the next few months, but to make sure that that doesn't happen. It's more about coming to peace with your path, you know, like just being like, I am on time. You didn't hold on to your ex-boyfriend for too long. Like you're not damaging your path by any means. But once you let go of that, like, you know, it's kind of like, when you let go of like an addiction, you know, there's a withdrawal period, and that withdrawal period like makes us think all sorts of crazy things. So my sense is that like, as you start to really cement, like, this is not right for me, you are like kind of at risk to fall into these thoughts. And I'm just like, I just want to have the conversation so that when you see that come up, that you, what you're going to do to combat that is to remind yourself that you are like on path, and that everything has been working out, you know, that you've done a good job. You're basically just there. Even letting go of this relationship is a big, in a different way, because I know you've done it before, but this is like in a very different way. And this is the end and the beginning. So this is the end of something and a new beginning of a new phase.
But it's interesting because I think it has mentally shifted the way I'm approaching dating and love right now. And we actually had another past guest that wasn't as spiritual, but she was more all about positivity. Amy Spencer, Meeting Your Half Orange, she wrote that book and we had her on. And she had this whole thing, like, if you think that you're going to meet this person, like, you know it. It's not even like you think it. It's for sure going to happen. You would live every day just a little happier and not with as much worry and not with as much fear. You would do the things you want to be doing, not necessarily like going to singles mixers that, because you feel like that desperation that you need to find that person. So I think that has like really helped shift my mindset. And you also warned me that I could end up becoming jaded because I've been doing this for a while. I feel like I know what I'm looking for. Like, why aren't they showing up type of thing? And you also told me that I might go through a period where I'm like dating a lot, but I'm quickly realizing it's not a fit. And I've actually seen that happen recently, that I've been going on like a lot of, you know, these like video calls, which is actually the perfect time for this. Seriously. Just to like skip through people, but I don't mean it like in a disposable way, but you know what I mean. And I think like it's helped me stay positive. This isn't just like, oh, another person that didn't work out. This is just part of the course. Like, this is what I need to go through to get to where I need to be.
100%. We have to have these like contractions and these expansions in order to like, you know, fully get to like whoever we are. So, you know, I asked the universe for a boyfriend and or a girlfriend, and they haven't come, but then they plant this in front of you. And it's like, well, that's actually like one of the things that cracks you open to be an energetic match for like what is for you. So it's hard. And no, this is a bunch of woo-woo conversation, but I mean, what you're doing is perfection, and what you're explaining is perfection.
And you said it too. I remember you were like, you can go back with your ex, but that's going to delay your path, because you were like in the, like, I see this happening for you in this birth year, but if you're not on that path, then I can't control that, right? Like, and he actually asked to like meet up, and I was like, this isn't like, you know, I'm like, basically like, I think I've realized that I could like keep in touch with him like through text, like every so often, but meeting up, talking on the phone extensively, like those are all like getting me off path. Nice. So it was helpful to see that distinction. And then also to keep like the eye on the prize, kind of like, this is going to take me off path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like, I got this train to catch and I don't want to be late for it. So thanks. But here, here's UA's number.
I was like, she probably won't appreciate that. So yeah, I mean, now that we've talked about me with dating, let's go into UA's with being in a relationship right now.
Well, I think just being the our call, Nikki, just the initial 2 minutes already just put shockwaves through my body because, you know,
I was like, UA, are you there? Are you there?
Because we were, I mean, timing-wise, it couldn't have been any more perfect. I was on this 2-year anniversary trip with my boyfriend. The day before, we had done a bunch of psychedelics and had a coming to Jesus moment about the future of our relationship. And then when we got on our call, it was like I needed closure to our conversation from the day before. So when Nikki and I got on our call, I found a quiet place. I think that's really important. Go into a quiet room where you feel comfortable. There are no distractions. And Nikki said, I'm trying to look into your soul, but your soul's blocking me because your soul's trying to portray something that it wants to be portrayed. And I've heard this on numerous dates that I've been on in the past. We've had some date experiments that where I went on a date with someone and we went on the podcast to talk about it. And he said the same thing. He's like, on dates, you were doing the date review talk. You were portraying someone that I know that that's not authentically who you are. So that was already the way we started our conversation. And I kept thinking like, come on, soul, just show who you are. Just open up, soul.
That's very helpful. That's very helpful when you
do that. I very much tried. So here's a clip of how that conversation went down.
In order to like pull this information, it's basically like it's a meditation that I do. Like I go into this place, close my eyes, and I start to see things. And it looks like a library. It's called the Akashic Records, and this is where we like pull information of the soul. And it was interesting. Like I couldn't like get access to a lot of your things, and I was like, what is happening? And then all of a sudden, which I've seen this before, your soul was like blocking me from like certain information, and I had to like have a conversation. I was like, listen, like you have to let me like have a good read, and then finally like I was like allowed to look more, but it was kind of projecting like almost like what it wanted me to see and like not what like was really there. So I thought that was really funny. But that happens when some souls are more advanced with like more like their older souls, so they have a higher command of things. So you get read, or even when you meet somebody who's like meeting you for the first time, like you're gonna have a tendency to project like what you want them to think of you, but not necessarily who you truly are or something. Which is, it's not that you're like faking it or anything. It's just that like you have the ability to kind of show what you want to show.
Why do you think that it's so hard in dating? I find this very ironic. We're trying to find someone who we can be our authentic selves with and who we can pour our soul to. Yet in the dating process, we hold it all back in fear of losing them or in hopes of getting them. Why is there such a disconnect between the two?
I just think we're all afraid of abandonment. You know, we're just afraid, like one thing is to be left for like a half-assed version of me. And then like another thing is to be left for like the full version of me. You know, it's like, it's the worst. Like we all have this fear of being abandoned. Some of us who are very sensitive, you know, without knowing it, like we're kind of reading people on dates. We know we might have been that kid that like learned to be like a people pleaser and like learned to like, you know, make the teacher happy, make the parent happy. A lot of us still have that in us when we're dating, especially women. So, I mean, I've seen men too do that a lot. But what happens is that we don't know like where we end and where the other person begins. So a lot of the times we show up and we're just trained to think like, I'm here to please you. So I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. I don't want to disagree with what you just said because I don't want you to, you know, and it really comes from a good place. It's like, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want you to feel that way. So I show up, I'm basically just bouncing off of you and I'm giving you a version of me that is going to be the least amount of an inconvenience to you. That's how I show up. Like, I don't want to inconvenience your feelings. I don't want to inconvenience you. So I'm going to show up in that way. And so, you know, a lot of times we do it without even knowing because we're just sensitive to the other person.
I think what was so fascinating to me about this is that like this still happens. Like, you guys are 2.5 years or 2 years into a relationship. This isn't like something that just like magically switches off when you're in a relationship. If anything, sometimes the stakes can even be higher because the fear of abandonment is higher, or like really showing someone your full self. So it's one of those things that just doesn't ever end until you take control of it.
So I've been with my husband for 10 years now. We have 3 children. And I go to this doctor every Monday to do like trauma release, just to basically like move like emotions out of my body. And I was having this struggle with wanting to tell my husband like about something that was really bothering me. And it was showing up in the session. And like at the core of me, I was afraid of losing him, which is bizarre. Like I would not tell my husband of 10 years, we have 3 children. I mean, afraid of telling him this one thing because I'm afraid that he's going to leave me. Like, and that is in my subconscious. Like that's in, like, I was not consciously aware of that. And so I'm sabotaging myself. I'm blaming, I'm angry. I'm doing all these things to not, you know, have that conversation with him because the little girl inside of me thinks he is going to leave me, like that I'm going to lose him. Mm-hmm. And then I act according to, you know, the little girl that thinks she's going to be, you know, so it's like really interesting how that happens to us.
I think for me, what drives a lot of my resentment is trying to figure out what's next. And I think that's always been my detriment in relationships is once I enter into one, I'm like, all right, what's next? What are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing in 5 years? What does our 10-year plan look like? And it gives me so much anxiety. And I really appreciate that you shed so much light into where my anxiety came from and how to alleviate that. Because I think for, you know, we're like 2 years in a relationship, he's 40, I'm 39. I just felt like it's time,
right?
You know, we need to get married. I think this is the logical next step. And even though in my heart of heart, I don't feel like marriage is the end all be all, for some reason, it's still that looming pressure. It's like, I just get married. And the added layer to this is that he is divorced. So in my head, I'm thinking if we don't get married, it means that I am inferior to his ex-wife because he chose to get married to her and to commit to her. So there were a lot of emotional issues. And I think what you uncovered for me, Nikki, was one, I'm very out of touch with my emotions. I think kind of on this universal level, but deep down, like, what does my heart really want? And you said something to me that sang to me really was, he loves you very, very much. I mean, he really loves you. And I had to step back and think, wow, all his actions prove that. And he says that, like, why is that not enough? But I think what you said here, I will play this clip now, is what ultimately changed my mindset about our relationship.
Even if you decide to have family and have children and all that, it's going to be just so different than the way you were raised. And you get to like redefine that, you know, like you get to totally rewrite it, you know, and it's like logically you know that, but it's almost like you're waiting for like the permission to rewrite. But the way you ground and the way that you like partner up and the way that like you truly like will be supported as like you redefine it. Cohen loves you very much. And if anything, I would say like his heart is like more open to you than like you're almost like more protective when it comes to like that relationship. Like he, you know, even though he's been hurt and all that kind of stuff, like he really loves you, you know, and I don't know if you feel that, but he like has like, he truly like does want to satisfy you, you know, in a way. His purpose in your life and like really like what the souls are trying to do here is he is trying, his soul is trying to make you go deeper and make you make choices for yourself and not because like what is expected of you. So when the fact that like he's kind of pushing on this marriage thing, it's really to help you like go outside the box. It could be annoying, but it's also like there for you, basically. It doesn't mean that you know, you have to agree to that, but there's something a little, I guess because of the divorce or something, there's something a little like non-traditional about him sometimes because of what he went through.
Yeah.
But it's not too non-traditional, you know, it's not too out there or anything like that. It's like definitely more of a living on my own terms type of thing and questioning some norms. Like there's compromises here. Like I almost see like kind of a commitment ceremony, but not a marriage, you know, like where there's not like a certificate or you know, anything like that, but there's like a commitment, like a partnership commitment is what I see. Like you need a little bit more of like that security in order to fully open your heart. Which is like, you know, something that you're seeking, but something that he's also like not wanting to provide, you know, like which would be marriage. Funny enough is that from his perspective, he is not sure he can trust, like he's also looking to trust you, you know, mainly because of like, you know, what he came from. But he, because you can't like fully open your heart because you need commitment to like fully open, he thinks that you're like a wild card, that you're not like really in it. So you're both kind of having the same problem. Do you get what I mean?
So why this really meant so much to me was knowing that all I wanted was commitment, and all I wanted was knowing that someone's responsible for me. And that does not have to look like marriage. It could look like what you said, maybe a commitment ceremony or a non-traditional way of committing to each other. And that set me free from all these external pressures, because in my mind, we are in a committed relationship. That's what I ultimately wanted, and I got it. I think what you also said was he and I played this emotional chicken with each other, where I'm holding back because I don't think he's fully committed, and he's holding back because he doesn't think I'm fully committed.
Oh, that's the detriment.
That is a detriment. And I feel like we've been in this standstill for a while leading up to our 2 year. All I needed was for me to crack the door and say, I love you with all my heart, and I want to be with you for as long as I possibly can. So will you also step up to the plate? And he said, absolutely. So that was such a release for me. And I feel cleansed and clarified and all the other great words that the woo-woo words you can throw around. But just finding that clarity and having, I think it's just having confirmation from someone else too.
Yeah.
You know, like someone else who doesn't have skin in the game, who can come in and say, listen, your boyfriend really fucking loves you. So get over it.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it brings me to tears.
But I think like what you said, though, and we've talked about this in the podcast, too. It's like we've been taught that there's like one path we go down with marriage and having kids and whatever it may be. And while that's a great path for some people, it's not the only path. And I think like when we're so fixated on one path, we can't see what we have. And yeah. I think that's exactly what it's sounding like for you. It's like, what do I actually want? And I will say you've come such a long way from the start of this. I feel like you were so traditional and like, you know, and now you're just so open-minded. So I think this like fits in so much with your relationship as well.
And I think I told you this too, Nikki, on our call, was our discussion basically ended with nothing is set in stone. We cannot predict the future, but we'll both take strides to open our mindset to meet the other person. So for me, I will go on thinking I am open to the possibility of never getting married. And he will go on open to the possibility of possibly getting married again. And that's how we can meet each other halfway. I think it's really done wonders for our relationship, because I think it just emotionally opened ourselves up to each other.
It's beautiful. And I mean, kind of reminds me of something that is in the book, The Final Swipe. We tend to date or be in relationships with these like outside goals in mind, whether it's marriage or, you know, that the guy needs to look like this or the woman needs to be like this. And the truth is that those desires that are these like, I don't know, tangible or external desires, the reason we want them is because of some sort of feeling. So the reason you wanted marriage is because you are actually looking for a certain feeling. You were looking for a certain security, a certain commitment, all those kind of things. But what was getting you stuck was being on the, you know, like looking at like, what does that traditionally look like, that there was this one path, like you said, which is why I always teach from a place of feeling, because we really limit ourselves because we can only go off of our own experience. If I've only seen marriage like this, if I've only seen men like this or women like this, like that's all I know. But if I tap into my feeling, like what I want to feel, then all these like other opportunities show up for us. And there's all these like other doors that open because we're not like limited to like what our mind can possibly, you know, gather. All of a sudden, all these possibilities opened up for you because you weren't like using your mind to be so specific about a path. You were using your heart and your emotion, which is like the connection to the universe, basically.
Well, sometimes our need to drive a relationship forward is exactly what's stopping us and blocking us from moving forward.
Absolutely.
That's what I really learned from this too. It's like I was on a different train that I shouldn't have been on.
I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, though, is just like having trust that it will all work out and leading with love over fear. Because I think this is all deep rooted into fear, like the situations I brought up that I'll never meet someone someone that I connect with as much as my ex, or for you, like, this will never end in marriage. Like, I think all of this ends in fear. So if we can like learn to rewire to appreciate what we got in front of us, either from the current day experience or the past, and just trust. I think having that trust, like, Nikki, do you have any like words of wisdom for people to have that trust? Like, obviously they can go to you, but if they didn't go to you, like, how can they kind of get that trust in their daily life?
I would say that, I always say, like, you know, if you can't get to trust, or you can't get to that extreme positivity because your life has proven you otherwise, you know, you've dated a bunch and it hasn't worked, if you can at least lead with curiosity, that's a middle ground. And it's like a door that like opens up. It's like the gateway drug to trust. Cause if I go on the date, I'm like, let's see what this person like is going to be like. Let's, instead of having this very fixed mindset about what this date's going to look like, what my life is going to look like. So what if I was going to end up with somebody, right? Like, instead of, you don't have to be like, I'm absolutely going to end up with somebody, cause that may feel very untrue to you. You know, you may be like, my life has shown me otherwise. I can't get behind that. So, but what if you would say, what if, right? What if there was this curiosity that led you? And that really, like, then that coupled with gratitude is what brings you into that place of trust.
Love that.
And what if, I mean, I love trusting in your path and your life, but what if you do a reading with someone where their fears could be actualized? Maybe you do see that they end up alone, or that they are facing death sooner than later. How do you guide them through
that? Yeah. So we basically, like, we face the fear of, you know, why is it so scary to be alone? Why is that such a bad thing? Like, why is it such a bad thing to die? Right. Like, those are the kind of things that we would have to work through. Like, why, you know, and that we can make it less dramatic, right? It could be like, I have a feeling I'm not going to be able to pay my rent and I'm going to have to get out of this apartment. And it's like, well, why is that such a bad thing? So what if you can't live in that apartment and you have to go live here, or you have to live with your parents or something? Like, what if there's something there for you? Like, not being afraid, like, life is taking you down certain paths for a reason. Why do we decide that those things are bad? Where's the book that says that this is bad and this is good?
I think that is a great segue into takeaways, because I think that's one that's been standing out for me, is that life isn't always the way we think it's going to unfold. And I think once you can release that, like, I think we both kind of brought up perfect examples. Like, you said something to me too of, you know, like, I'm 37 years old, like, I still haven't met that person yet, but trust in my timing. Like, this is when it's supposed to unfold. And if I was to look at my life when I was like, you know, growing up, I probably would have thought I'd be married and having kids by now, but that's not the way it worked out. And there's nothing wrong with that. And then, like, for you, UA, it's like, if things don't result in marriage, maybe that's okay. Like, if you end up having the same feelings of commitment that you're really seeking. So I think just being open, and I love this idea of the leading with curiosity. And, you know, also, I think the other takeaway I have is, it's still, like, I know it's about body too, but it is, does come back to mindset also, because if you think about things in the positive, like, I could look at the string of dates recently, like, oh, Nikki told me that I'm going to meet this person, but they're not working out, you know, like, but then I can also look at it like, this is just something I need to do to get to where I need to be. So it's really how you frame it at the end of the day.
Yeah, I have a very similar takeaways. I think it's, we always say you have to go through the trenches, but I kind of like this more positive spin of trust in your path that you're taking. And something you said to me on our call, Nikki, was, you're like, you know, everyone's a little bit off their path, but they're going in the right direction. So as long as you're going in the right direction, you're good, right? Like, if you're a little bit off, that's fine. You can always come back onto the right path. And sometimes it's hard to decipher what is the right path. And that's why we have to listen to our hearts. So I think connecting with your emotions and your feelings is so important. That's something I learned to do. And then this healing aspect, I think I forget to pause and just heal some of the emotional trauma I have inflicted upon myself in the last 10 years or so. And so something I've started doing recently was, as soon as I see the clock turn like 11:11, if I happen to see it, I'll take a moment to stop and just do some visual healing for myself, where I see like darkness lifted from my body. And it really works. It like resets my brain. It resets my body. It resets my life, really, and just how I view the rest of the day. So I think healing is so important, and we can't overlook it. We got to make time for it.
I think the last takeaway I'll add to is looking at the past. You said it actually really well that like my ex set me up to be really fully seen and heard in my, you know, lifelong relationship. And I think we can look at the past as like, oh, why did I do this? Why did I waste my time here? But if you reframe again of like, this is, I was meant to do that because that's how I'm getting on my path that I'm on today. Like, I think it's really just looking at your life holistically and not being too hard on yourself. Like, I think that's the thing is like we make mistakes, but as long as we can get back on the path, like that's all that matters.
Love it. So great.
Any last words of wisdom that you want to give our listeners, Nikki? I know you live and breathe this stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm just so proud of both of you. I'm just like, you know, you just were open to it and like the shifts happened in you because you were like ready and willing for it. So I'm just like watching you guys and I'm just so proud of you. I just find it so, it's just so beautiful. Yeah. Oh.
And as a wrap up to this whole experience, so just so people know what it's like after the call, Nikki sends you a recording of the reading so you can replay it. But I was taking notes too. I was like, I need to remember this stuff in the moment. And I'm just curious how you feel after every reading because I was exhausted. I needed like 30 minutes away from my partner, away from my dogs and just sit alone and absorb and digest. Is that how you are after readings?
Yeah.
Aren't you so tired?
I'm not as tired as you because when I am reading, I'm also shifting your energy. I'm purposely like moving it around and trying to like release layers, like as much as you're ready for, whatever you're ready for, we'll be able to like move out of the way. I'm just shifting like with my voice. Like my voice is basically like making the energetic shift in you. Yes. I mean, I can only do like 3 readings a day. I used to do a lot more, but as my work has gotten like deeper and I mean, it's also like the price point is because of that. Like it really is a lot of energetic work for me, mm-hmm. like, cause I'm meditating before I talk mm-hmm. to you and then like, I'm still with you.
Right.
So mm-hmm. yeah,
it's not just an hour. Yeah.
It's, you know, I find it to be very sacred work. Like I come in and I'm like, okay, like we are going to have a meeting today with like Julie's soul. Like, please work through me. Like it's very, like it's very sacred to me. I've actually trained, I have a few girls that read under me now cause I have a method. So I was able, because I believe in a good reading. Like even if you don't read with me, like I believe in like yeah. going and maybe not the psychic next to the yogurt shot, but
the gelato place, not that reputable. Yes, yeah.
But inside the Jiffy totally,
Lube. I see like the fluorescent lights. Like maybe not her. I don't know. I'm not going to judge. But I always thought like, what if I would open the story like that? I really believe in that sacred meeting, like with your soul. So I've trained people to like read under me because my hope is that like, you know, everybody gets a good reading, you know, that I think it's really important.
You know, what's so interesting though, is I think the reaction might have to do with your personality. Cause I did not feel, I felt like energized after, like, I think I like immediately texted you and like shared with her where you had to like process it more, but that just could be the way we are in general. I think that shows up in the way we interact outside of this also is like some people need to like process things before talking and then other people like me that just talk. So I think
Well, also it's like, what are you looking for going into the reading? I was looking to be exhausted after. I was looking to get information and to process it. So I think it just depends.
Yeah, I had no expectation going in.
UA was more like the alligator that was like wrapped up tight and like she wants to wrestle with you. And like I had to, we were like wrestling the whole session. And then at the end, I was like, I won. Like, you know.
3, 2, 1.
I feel like I think maybe also because you like kind of had this time with your boyfriend that you wanted more answers to, where I kind of was in this like fresh slate part. Like, I think if I was maybe like a month or I was thinking about this earlier, like if I was did this reading with you like a month or two earlier when I was like deciding whether to like end things with my ex, like I might have been in a totally different mindset. Also,
it was also the intention, like you were hope, like your intention was more hope, and then UA's was more like let go, release. So
yes, absolutely. And then you do different types of readings, right, Nikki?
Well, I do like that one main reading that's pretty much like the signature. Sometimes like during the holidays I do like a year ahead, but after corona COVID, after 2020, I'm not sure I'm gonna do year heads anymore because I'm
Yeah, too much can change. Yeah.
I know how predictive. I don't love like the super, super predictive. We used to do that. I do healings also, but I also teach people like how to read on them. Like if anybody is interested in like nerdy about this stuff, I actually teach people how to read themselves.
I've told so many people about the readings and they're all like, how do I sign up? So can you let us know like how people can find you, and also about your podcast and book too?
Yeah, thanks. So you can go to nikkinovo.com. So it's just NIKKINOVO. And straight ahead, you'll see like clarity readings. And if you can't book with me, you can book with somebody who has trained under me, who's just as good. I'm like a big psychic. I'm like a reading connoisseur. So I picked good people that read just like me. you can order The Final Swipe on Amazon, which is a great read if you're just starting to date. And The Final Swipe podcast is anywhere you can listen to podcasts.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Nikki. I'm about to book another reading with you.
I know, seriously. I'm like, I need more clarity.
Especially in 2020. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, I need more. Show us. Awesome. Thank you again, Nikki. And for anybody who would like to be a guest on the Dateable Podcast, we love to book you. So just head on over to datablepodcast.com. And if you loved this episode, which I know you did, please give us a good rating in Apple Podcast. 5 stars, is that too much to ask? No, right? Because that enables us to bring on fabulous guests like Nikki, who know that we're legit and that we're not just like a little, like two girls stuck in a room, like talking to each other. Awesome. We're going to wrap this up.
Stay dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all of those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.